How's everybody doing today? I'm going to ask a lot of questions in the very beginning, and then we're going to get right into it, okay? So, throughout your lifetime, do you remember questions you're asked often? I know one for me, and also meeting another gentleman that's taller than me. They call him Shorty, I guess. We often get asked, how tall are you? For the shorter people like John, how short are you? So, one of the questions often asked is, well, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? What's your favorite color? Often growing up, I know kids are asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? My wife still asks me that question to this day, so we haven't figured it out yet, but we're getting there. So one of the truly challenging questions at times, yet easy to answer, hard to think about, is one that brings back memories for me. And it's called, who do you think you are? And I'm going to go through my testimony. I was asked to share it this morning, graciously. I'm on a little bit of a sugar high. I've eaten like 22 peppermints, so if my breath knocks you out, I apologize. We'll get through it. So throughout my life, I've been asked, who do you think you are? I grew up in a family that did not read the Bible. We didn't go to church, and we didn't talk about God. As a teenager, I got into trouble here and there, but would always lie about it. And I would try and weasel my way out of, you know, the discipline and the spankings and being grounded, all those things. So one time when I got in trouble, my mom looked at me with the look that every mother knows naturally. And she said, who do you think you are? I'm terrified because you're going to kill me. Just this natural, you have that look. You can instill it in your children. You just got to give the look, and they freeze, okay? A few years later, we moved from California. My dad retired from the military. We moved from California to Pueblo with 3 months left in my high school year, my senior year. So I went to East High School as the new kid on the block. And unfortunately, we don't have the picture today, but I had the clothes and the hair to match. If those that you know, new kids on the block, I had Vanilla Ice was my model. I had, you know, lines in my hair. Veronica didn't want to show it, so. But I was nervous and apprehensive meeting new people, and she cannot imagine that today. Anyone that knows me is like, oh, he's a social butterfly. The challenge for me, though, growing up, was I was so nervous because meeting people was not something that I was naturally accustomed to. So when I walked into class, people stared at me and asked if I played basketball because I'm tall. Nervously, I replied, no, but in a very rude way. A couple days later, I was asked by a guy in gym class, who do you think you are? He was a little short guy named Benji Trujillo, and he was a bodybuilder, real big buff kid. I was 6'7", same tall, a little bit thinner, more in shape. But I told him, the toughest kid from California. Yeah, okay, sure. But I met my beautiful wife, Veronica, there. But I always had to portray this tough guy attitude, this macho fakeness, even around her. And a couple of years later, I joined the Navy. Veronica and I were married April 24th, 1992, and she accompanied me faithfully for 8.5 years throughout my different duty stations in the Navy. While in the Navy, I drank every day and did what I wanted to do. I neglected her. I neglected our marriage. I didn't do whatever she wanted to do. It was always about me. I was asked one night by a fellow shipmate out on the town, who do you think you are? And this question kept coming up. And I replied to him at that time, I'm a rock star. I'm going to party up. I'm going to do what I want to do. But inside, I was confused and angry, more with myself than anyone else. But I never let it show. I didn't let it show to my wife. I didn't let it show to the guys around me. I had to maintain this attitude of, I'm macho. I'm in charge. Veronica and I were divorced in 2000 due to my infidelity and my unwillingness to work through it with her. She wanted to work it out. I could not I was too messed up in the head. I began later, after getting out of the military, I began working at the Pueblo County Sheriff's Office in 2003. I would get our son Dominic on the weekends and would have him watch movies or do something with his grandma Connie while I would do other things that didn't require me to be a dad. I would go out and drink with coworkers and friends. I tried dating, but I was still in love with Veronica. So I stopped dating and distanced myself again from everyone. I started watching pornography and became addicted to it. I didn't let anyone get close to me, and I didn't get close with anyone, including my son. Sorry. I got in an argument with a coworker one night, and he asked me this very same question: who do you think you are? And I replied, I'm an idiot that hurts people. Veronica and I got back together in 2005 and remarried on October 10, 2007, by the grace of God. I began my career at BNSF Railway in January of 2007 and soon after worked with a man named Roy, who I would later come to know and call my brother. Roy shared his testimony with me in 2009 on a train ride one night from Dodge City. To see a man who was willing to share his weaknesses and his failures with me was something I had never experienced, heard, been told about. It was very foreign to me. One day while playing Xbox with him and his boys, I got mad and I cussed at them. And Roy asked me, who do you think you are, cussing at me and my boys? And I replied, angry because you're all doing something stupid. Again, about me, the pride. We didn't play games much after that, and I just let it go. In March of 2011, Veronica and I were blessed with our daughter, Heather. Our restored family grew. In August of 2012, my mother, Connie, became terminally ill and was placed in hospice care. I would go visit her every day for a few hours. And one day while I was sitting in her room, I noticed she woke up, she grabbed my hand, and she was trembling. And she had tears running down her face. And I asked Mom, I asked her, I said, what's wrong? And she just replied, Brian, I'm scared. And I remember growing up, nothing scared this lady. My dad was gone the first 11 years of my life. He was out to sea in the Navy, off and on. So my mom was my foundation. Nothing scared this lady. And to see her this way, it was so different. So I asked her, I said, growing up, nothing scared you. I said, what's going on? And she said, I'm not afraid of dying. We're all going to die. But I don't know what to expect on the other side. And I didn't know how to help my mom. Here I am, this macho guy, and I don't even know how to talk to her about God. I don't even know how to where to go. So I reached out to Roy. Roy told me to reach out to a guy by the name of Randy, who I knew as my Verizon guy for 6 years. He's a pastor. So I reached out to him to talk to her. The night before he did, the night before Randy talked with my mom, my dad and I were drinking a beer on his porch. And we both agreed. We believed in a higher power, but not God. Immediately after Randy talked with my mom the next day, I went out and outside and I told him my whole life story. I told him everything I did. A guy that I barely knew. I told the truth to him. So we did. He took the time to do Bible studies with me for the next 7 days, every day, telling me the good news of the gospel and biblical truths, that we've all sinned, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, how my sin separates me from God, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, how Jesus came to save lost people, in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. How God loves us. God demonstrates in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not because I'm perfect. I'll never be perfect. Another part of his love is John 3:16 and 17. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that Jesus is the only way, in John 14:6, as Doc talked about this morning. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father but through me. And that salvation is based on faith because of what Jesus did on the cross and not what I've done. In Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that faith comes by hearing the scriptures. In Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he also told me how Jesus died for my sins, and he exchanged all that he is for all that I am. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On September 7th, 2012, at 3:30 a.m., my mom died. 6:30 that evening, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And relying on Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A few months later, I came to find out that Roy prayed for me every day that God would bring me to himself. And shortly after becoming a Christian, a coworker asked, who do you think you are? And I replied, forgiven and set free. And early in my Christian walk, I met Tim Suazo, who taught me how to study the Bible and how a true follower of Christ lives daily. By faith. Tim loved me enough to disciple me and pass on what he was taught by his mentor, Don Cornett. And my walk with the Lord has been a challenge and not always faithful on my part. But he's always faithful and will never leave me nor forsake me. Here lately, I was asked by a gentleman on the train. I shared Christ with him. And he said, who do you think you are? And I said, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, living by faith in Christ, knowing I'm loved, cared for, sanctified, set free, and called to share his love and truth with everyone and anyone who has ears to hear. So now, y'all know who I am. So let me ask. Who do you think you are? Are you also a sinner saved by the grace of God? Then praise God. Be glad in that. Rejoice in it. Live for him. But if not, if you're not a sinner saved by the grace of God, if you have not been set free, then you are not yet what God wants you to be. He desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And to that end, he warns in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And to that end, he says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thank you.